Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in on Wednesday. It's Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke, and you. A lot to get to. We'll talk some preseason predictions for Nebraska football. What do some of the national magazines say about the Big Red? And we'll dive into kind of paying that price for Nebraska football. A mentality needed for Nebraska moving forward. That's part of that culture development. Do you have the courage to win? Do you have the talent to win? We'll cover that in hour two. Derek Peterson, Dr. Petey. 15 is where you find Derek on Hail Varsity's Twitter handle. And you read him with HailVarsity.com and magazine. Derek's been observing the photo shoot for the Hail Varsity yearbook. Excited to talk with Derek here in about 20 minutes. I am planning on Mike Shuhart, Shuey, of Wilderness Ridge Golf with us on Wednesdays in about 30 minutes. And ESPN insider, college football analyst, and college game day man, Brad Edwards, with us in 1 hour. You can join us, can tap the line. Schilling Bridge, Cork and Tap House lets you do that. 466-3776. 466-3776. 800-825-5865. I'm going to run down some coaches to start out. And Danny Burke, at Danny Burke 5 on Twitter, at Schmidt underscore radio, at Hail Varsity. Email Chris at HailVarsity.com. You are going to say yay or nay, theory-wise, on if this coach has a burner Twitter account in honor of Mr. Coangelo's and the Ringer story. Derek will have some comments on that. Okay. Yay or nay, do you think Scott Frost has a burner Twitter account?
I do not. I think he's too much of like a just genuine old school, like not the biggest technology kind of guy. So I don't think he would even waste his time with it.
I think he's extremely tech savvy.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference with Scott Frost is Scott Frost will look you in the eye and tell you what you don't want to hear. He's been doing that since he got here,
right,
with some of his guys. He's not going to passively, aggressively, hey, you know what? I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so at all. And I don't think he's got a fake Twitter assigned to do his social media warfare. I don't think he's that type of dude.
Mm-hmm.
It's necessary from a recruiting standpoint to be on and be a part of and be interactive on Twitter.
Yeah, of course.
That's where he's at. That's what he's doing. Nick Saban, does he ever, because you really what it comes down to is looking, observing, and then getting a feel of someone's thickness.
Mm-hmm.
How thick is their skin? We played Saban's audio yesterday, and eventually he'll have an eruption, and they vary. I mean, what are we on the Richter scale here? How hot is his lava when Saban loses it? And most of the time it's directed at his team. That's how he'll speak through the media. And Scott Frost will say things in the media about what needs to happen, more toughness, better leadership, da-da-da-da-da, that you've heard. It's not just bullet points, it's reinforcement, because that narrative started, it's repeated, and it gets back. Saban. I don't know if he's got... I think Saban, bless his heart, I think he just has some henchmen.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to jerk with Twitter. I think he'll just send some henchmen out.
Yeah, I could see
Bubba
that.
Bubba and Buford will knock on your door. Or maybe they don't knock at all. Maybe they just show up and say, yeah, St. Nick needs to see you.
No, I could see him, like, realistically, no, he probably doesn't, but I could just see him being a dark horse for some reason and just actually having it. Wouldn't that be hysterical? And, like, I could see it happening because someone was showing him how to use Twitter on their own account, and he's just never logged out of it, so he just kind of scrolls through on, like, this random person's account. I could see him being very low-key in that. That would be awesome.
I don't think Dabo would have one.
No, I don't think so, because he's pretty interactive on Twitter. Just
Lane
himself,
Kiffin
right?
strikes me as a guy that probably has a few Twitter accounts.
Yep, absolutely. I'm on board with you for that one.
And listen, you can ask those who Coach Bo would like to put in a headlock and then suplex. I don't know, man. There's enough stuff you've heard about him finding a guy and sitting a guy down and talking to the dude. Like, it's, you ever see the movie Heat?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, rent it. Like, you can go do that anymore. That was an old take. Anywho, Heat, it's on Netflix now. Go watch
okay,
Heat.
Okay.
But you had this bank robber crew, and the leader bank robber was Robert De Niro. And he could have got away clean with the final job of his life with several million, and he's got the girl, he's got the getaway car, he's got the place in Mexico, and he couldn't not enact revenge, and it blew up on him. Didn't work out. Bo is that type of guy that just won't let you get the last word. That's part of what was beautiful about him, if you ask his players. And part of that was, are you secure or are you insecure? Mm-hmm. And there were times where he was insecure. Who else? I don't know.
Jim Harbaugh? Thoughts? He's way too against, like,
he's wacky enough.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Right?
I just think he's got so many other things on his mind and would just want to.
Who knows
do whatever
where else. His mind is going?
Yeah.
Petrino, obviously. Yeah?
Yeah, okay.
And I think Jimbo's probably got one, too.
Yeah, I could see
there's
Jimbo.
Just some guys that have won, that have done well, that you just think, I don't know. Hell, I bet Coach Switzer's got a few burner accounts just because he loves, as he put it to us, throwing some hand grenades out on Twitter once in a while.
Yeah, but it will be interesting to see how many more instances we see like this since, you know, the new coaches are slowly going to be coming up with this social media platform, this whole new wave. So it'll be interesting to see how many kind of cases we see in the future.
Well, we'll see how that works out, but can tweet at us. Coaches you think absolutely have a burner Twitter account to either pump them up or tear down their predecessor or just tell it how it is. Be able to get some info out without having to get caught getting said info at Danny Burke 5 at Schmidt _ radio. Okay, you have some preseason magazines that are out with predictions for Nebraska football. Hail Varsity's yearbook will be out in June. Brandon Vogel's working on that. Mike Babcock's working on that. Derek Peterson, Jacob Padilla, of course, Mr. Greg Smith. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be phenomenal. Money folks at Hail Varsity can't wait for that. So what you have here is, and it's there, and you've seen it if you've rolled into the grocery store, rolled by to get some coffee, not yesterday, but at a Barnes & Noble, and you see Scott Frost in the old letter jacket. You see that picture. I didn't thumb through it. Guys at Land at 10 did some of it. And what you have here is this is what's said about the preseason. And there are some magazines that get into the anonymous source, a coach in the league being straight without a Twitter burner account. Danny is on his right now to enter into the show. His list of coaches that have Twitter burner accounts. What we have here is Athlon. Athlon, we're talking about. Athlon has Nebraska ranked 62nd. 65 Power 5 teams. Athlon says Nebraska's 6-6. Athlon says 3-6 in the Big Ten. Okay, I'm going to stop there before I move on to what is out there on Nebraska narrative-wise by an anonymous coach. Do you see Nebraska going 3-6 in conference play? We've done the math on how hard the schedule is. Nebraska's schedule is ranked 8th toughest, 3rd toughest, 2nd. Where there's a bunch of different sources and opinions and takes and math out there. All sorts of options as to quantify and verify that Nebraska's schedule is top 10 brutal. Absolutely. So that's there. But with Nebraska, man, okay, I just can't see a loss to Purdue. I can't see a loss to Minnesota. I can't see a loss to Illinois. There's your three. And they've got to beat somebody in their division named Wisconsin, Iowa, or Northwestern. The crossover games, we can win an argument or lose an argument with, do they upset one of the big dogs? We'll ask Brad Edwards about that here in an hour. But I think Nebraska can do okay in the West. Are they going to win it? No. Are they going to finish higher than third? That'd be awesome. That'd be big. But I don't see them maxing out and tapping out at just 3 conference wins. I think they will be coached up to be better than that. Let's go to the phone lines. Brian, thanks for calling in. Go ahead.
Hey, man. I ate my words from last year because I called in and I was like, it just feels different. Like, it feels like Nebraska is going to go somewhere. And then they laid an egg. Mm-hmm. This year, it just seems like that. I have a gut feeling that frost effect, like they're tougher this year. Just by looking at the spring game, it's night and day. And I really do think they're going to put a thumping on Iowa.
I think that by the end of the year, they're going to be a better football team. That's what Scott Frost does. You get better as you go forward. And they did that. He did that in 2 years at Central Florida. You got to be a little lucky. You got to have development. You got to have some young guys be older guys by the end of the year. All the cliches there. But, yeah, Iowa's a winnable game. Iowa's not 20 points better than Nebraska or 50 points better or whatever the backhanding was, 56-14.
I just don't respect them.
I know, and I get Nebraska fans not respecting them. I used to, even with my buddy Iowa Russ watching the Iowa-Nebraska game with me the last 100 years, he knew I didn't respect Iowa. The what they've done is they have beaten Nebraska into submission, Brian. That's what's happened. Appreciate the call. 466-377-6800-825-5865. Now, the question is does that continue? How long does that go on? And does it change? You've lost 4 out of 5 years. This has turned into Nebraska, Iowa. I apologize, but thanks for the phone call. But, yeah, I mean, Iowa's a winnable game, depending on what type of shape you're in heading there. They've been good. They've put dudes in the league on the lines of scrimmage, and that'll be the key. The offense has got to be good, and the defense needs to make plays. It's year one with scheme change. But are you good on the line? Are you tougher on the line of scrimmage? Is it Nate? Nate's with us on Hail Varsity. Nate, go ahead, bud. How are you?
My brother, how you been?
I'm living, man. I'm doing all right.
So I know you were stoked I was right about Cope Palmer and Roby, right? I know you were waiting for me to call in for that one, right? Because I told you all three of them were coming.
I know you said that, and I don't know how you knew other than you just guessed.
Because I talked to a couple of them. Well, one of them and then a couple teammates. But anyway, so
is that restraining order still in effect?
No, I just talked to them after games. You get to know. You can tell a lot about a person by how they talk. You can tell about their body language. Neither one of those three, aside from maybe a touch of Palmer, is the type that wants to leave something unfinished. Especially Copeland. He's a book closer. So mm-hmm. No, I wasn't worried at all. So football discussion, right? Mm-hmm. I see 9 wins. I really do. I see 8 solid, and I see 4 toss-up games that I don't think we're going over. I don't see an over, and I think that believe it or not, I'm not sold on us losing to Michigan, and not because I'm sitting here drinking the Frost Kool-Aid. I'm not sold on Harbaugh. Harbaugh is like the modern-day Mack Brown. He recruits the hell out of the game, but he really can't coach when it comes down to it, which is why he gets these stupid losses once or twice a year. And, you know, you got a new quarterback up there working in a new system. You know, there's no Jabril Peppers on the other side of the line.
He hit the lottery with the quarterback he just got.
I like Shea, but there's still a learning curve. How often has it happened that the grad transfer or ex-transfer comes in immediately and kills it? Russell Wilson, mm-hmm. and then crickets. So I cannot believe that Shea Patterson, who I do think is going to be a legit top five draft pick, in he's got 1 year or 2 years. I forget, 2 years, right?
He, if he's worth a damn, he'll play really well at Michigan. They'll be an 11-win team, and then he'll go to the NFL.
I don't see them winning 11 games. Not if
the
I
schedule's
fall.
Murder.
Do I see that? It is. It's murder, and Harbaugh is a choke artist. He really is.
I can't hear Harbaugh being a choke artist with what he did at Stanford.
Okay? We are getting Iowa, or we're getting Michigan. I would almost put money on that. I think Ohio State's probably out of the reach unless mm-hmm. just some kind of craziness goes down. Penn State's going to be kind of interesting. I guess I don't know what to expect. McSorley's pretty solid, but you also lost 90% of your offense that bought McSorley time to get good like he did. So mm-hmm. it's kind of like,
yeah, I don't think they have Penn State this year. And thanks for the call. They have Michigan State. Michigan State, Michigan, Ohio State are the Eastern crossovers. But yeah, Athlon, we'll get more into this. Athlon and Lindy's prediction. But 3-6 in the Big Ten. I know Danny Cassino's got a take on it. That's an over-under number. 3 conference wins. Derek Peterson's on the way. Great to be with you on Wednesday with Hail Varsity Radio.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
We have very sad news, and that is the wireless in the building is not allowing me to load a tweet letting you know Derek Peterson, Dr. PD15's on the horn, nor is it going to allow continuous trolling of some sort of Kevin Durant or James Harden gif that I live for. I love it. Without further ado, we welcome in tremendous writer with HailVarsity.com and magazine, Derek Peterson. Derek, what's good, man? How are you?
I'm good, bud, except I owe you a steak.
So. And a beer.
And a beer. Oh, that's right. Don't forget about the beer.
Well, here's what I'll do for you. We can go double or nothing, and I'll take Cleveland.
Just cancel it out.
Yeah, just cancel it out. What did I see?
I tell you what, dude.
It's almost $1,100. You gotta lay $100 to. You gotta lay like what $1,100 to win $100 on the Warriors.
Yeah. The odds of them winning are ridiculous. And that's why I would put money on LeBron, honestly.
So it'll be 2 steaks and 2 beers if Cleveland gets this done.
I'm not trying to double down. I'll take you for a steak.
Okay, that's fine. All right. So we'll just double down here. Or are you against that? Do you want to go have dinner this week, and then we'll do it again?
Why not? You only live once, right?
All right.
That was a long pause. I don't think he wants to get dinner with you.
No, I don't think he does either. My manipulative ways. Okay.
Not after all these Kevin Durant tweets, man.
I know. There's going to be a tire iron and thunder colors that will be used on me. Danny and I were talking about coaches most likely to have burner Twitter accounts. Give me 3 or 4 that come to mind immediately for you.
Are we talking any sport or are we talking football? Because I got 3 guys in football that I can guarantee would
give me football. Give me football.
I bet you Tom Herman at Texas has one. I bet you anything Tom Herman has one. I bet you Lane Kiffin has one.
Okay, we said Lane.
I would say Mike Leach because he seems like the type of guy that would have one. But he also seems like the type of guy that just wouldn't care and would just tweet whatever he would tweet from a burner from his own account.
He just showed me like he showed the video. We were talking last week, and it's like, do you ever see two giraffes fight? It's like no. It's like, check out my tweet. So he's got two giraffes just whacking away at each other with their neck. They're karate chopping each other.
Yeah.
You ever see two giraffes fight? No.
Yeah, I was going to say Mike Leach, but I just thought kind of like he says what's on his mind regardless.
No, so. he doesn't. I don't think so either. He could, but he doesn't.
Yeah.
I think Bo probably has one, Pelini.
Yeah, it's Fo. It's Fo Pelini.
Well, no, Fo's Fo. Fo's Fo. It's not. Well, you're just starting a story now. There we go. Okay, I want to get your take here. Athlon has come out with some preseason thoughts. Nebraska comes in at 62, 6-6, 3-6 in the Big Ten. What do you say? What's your reaction to three conference wins predicted by Nebraska? I know their schedule, all right? But I also know that's super low. 3-6 in the league, no.
Yeah, I mean, just thinking about it right now, like initially I say like, yeah, they'll win all three of their non-conference games. So that's 3-0.
Yep.
When we look at them, just when you zoom out and look at them and say like, well, what's the record going to be this year? Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people have kind of settled in on 6-6 or 7-5.
Yeah.
That would mean.
Okay. That would mean 3-6
in the conference. Yeah. Or 4-5.
Mm-hmm.
3-6 just feels low.
It looks super low, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It looked, but then, I mean, when you zoom out, you're like, well, there's no way. But then the schedule is really difficult. I think 4-5 has to be.
That's the number, right? Don't you think? I think they'll get better as the year goes on.
Yeah, I would think so. And there are winnable games on their schedule. I mean, you got Purdue, right? You've got. And I'm blanking on their schedule right now.
You have Purdue. You mean the West, right? You have Purdue and Illinois.
Yeah, you've got Illinois that you'll beat. I think they can beat Iowa.
I think they can get Iowa, and I think they can get Northwestern.
That's another one. Yeah.
See, the Northwestern one scares me, and Iowa scares me a little bit too. But the Iowa one, like what you've been saying, it's like it's going to come down to how they're playing right then at the end of the season and how tough they developed as a team. I'm just so.
It's going to be a different Nebraska team walking in there. All right, Iowa could look at Nebraska in years past and go, "We're gonna smoke them," just based on body language and the look in the eye.
Yeah, yeah. Where in the past couple of years they've gone kind of trended in the opposite direction as the season has gone on. I feel like they're probably trending up as the season goes on this season. Maybe not in terms of like win-loss record, but definitely in terms of how the offense looks, in terms of how cohesive everything looks, in terms of, like, competitiveness. I don't think you're going to see a dip in competitiveness this season like maybe you saw last season. And if you start to see it, I think Frost is going to start yanking some people and replacing some people. So I think when you get to those later games, I mean, this could be a team that, you know, like Purdue did last year, where they just scared a bunch of people.
Right.
And you could tell that they were on the come up, but they didn't quite have enough to get over the hump in a lot of games, but they were scaring teams.
You know,
I
want to go to Purdue for a second. Like, they built up because Purdue started out great, and Purdue had a really good three quarters against Michigan, and then Michigan gave them the people's elbow. But Purdue didn't fade after that. I mean, I know Nebraska beat them, okay? And that was more about Stan and company finding a way, right? But other than that, Purdue finished 7-6. I mean, they didn't fade away.
Back and forth at quarterback.
Yes, they did. They did. So we'll see where that is. Derek Peterson, HaleVarsity.com and magazine with us at Dr. PD15. All right. Explain to me how the photo shoot's been going without giving away any secrets. I know you've been around. Hail Varsity, your book is coming out in June. Paul Bellinger is incredible, so he's doing the photo shoot with us again. And you've been around there.
He's amazing.
Yeah, you've been kind of kicking it with some of the players. How has that been?
It's been great. The setup that Paul's got here. Do you remember the not to totally give things away, but do you remember the Harden GQ photo shoot?
I have seen it.
Think yes. of that.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Just everybody's in a good mood. Everybody's happy. Everybody's excited. Everybody like everybody looks really good. Like Ben Stilley, he's just he looks like you carved a football player. That would be Ben Stilley. Luke Gifford said he's fully healthy. He's good to go in the summer. Tony Butler was joking with us and said that Frost is trash at softball.
Really?
So putting his coach on blast a little bit.
That's okay, but, though. If I mean, once you hit 43, you can be trash at softball. My dad continued to play, and he's got rotator cuff scars. So,
well, he also pegged his career and something else, and he's been pretty successful with that. So the softball is probably not going to kill him too much.
No, but it's nice. But it's nice Butler's being honest.
Yeah, exactly. This the photo shoots that we've gotten going to be incredible. All the players are in good moods. We talked with couple of the quarterbacks about just the absurd quarterback test that they recently took. It's been good. It's been fun. It's kind of nice to get these guys in kind of a laid back setting where there's not, you know, 85 billion cameras in their face, video cameras, I should say.
Sure.
And just kind of chomped a bit with them a little bit.
What did Super Mario do, or how does he reward those who do well on the test?
So they wouldn't. Everybody played coy with how they did, but they graded them pretty much right after they took them. So everybody knows how they did. They just wouldn't tell me.
Okay.
But it was like Bunch said it was like 4 hours, and it's all written.
What?
Yeah, and they took it at Verduzco's house.
I can imagine like an extra meatball or two being withheld if you didn't do well on the test.
Not outside the realm of possibility.
Okay, that's just my, okay, hey, we're not going to kick you out. You can still eat, but you sucked. So
no extra protein for you.
No, we're going to give the two other guys that did well, or the other guy, we're going to eat all the meatballs.
It is cool, though, because I don't know if you saw, I don't remember who reported this, so apologies on that, but someone was saying that the walk-on kids are kind of holding their own summer workouts as they're getting ready for the Shrine Bowl.
Wow.
There are guys out on the field right now running routes. I see Todd Honus out there. I see what looks like Cade Warner.
Mm-hmm.
I think Andrew Bunch was down there throwing with guys.
Okay.
There are guys on the field working out. Running routes, trying to get chemistry. Looks like Justin McGriff too. The dude, that dude is constantly running routes. Every time I see him, you just get the sense that they're ready to get back to work. We're getting close.
What Scott Frost say? I want to make football fun for them, where they want to practice, and they're putting the investment in. Derek Peterson of HailVarsity.com and magazine with us. Dr. PD15 on Twitter. I have literally 60 seconds. The Honda fan poll with Palmer and Cope back means what for Nebraska? Where do they finish in the Big Ten next year? What do you say?
Well, it means they have to finish inside the top four. I think they have the talent, and I think three is a good number.
Really? You're saying three,
the Big
huh?
Ten.
Okay.
The Big Ten will be better. Ethan Happ is coming back. Wisconsin should be better. But Nebraska has as much talent as maybe anybody in the conference, just when you look at the guys that they brought back. And adding Amir Harris is big. But bringing back James Palmer Jr. and bringing back Isaac Copeland. I mean, I put this in a piece that I wrote the other day. It's the first time since 2003 they've had all four leading scorers back. So.
Yeah, and these are four big-time leading scores, and it'll be nice. Derek, we'll get caught up, man. It was so much fun to talk. Keep up the awesome work with Hail Varsity, but thanks for the time.
Sounds good, man. Thank you.
See ya. There he is, Derek Peterson. Apparently a photo shoot going on. Nice of him to join us, Hail Varsity. Your book is on the way. So is Mike Shewhart, Wilderness Ridge Golf. A little pro-am. We'll see if we can scream Omaha real, real loud.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
That was a lot of fun. Derek Peterson, photo shoot going on. Hail Varsity yearbook in stores in June. Subscribe now. Get that yearbook. Get the premium content online. Find out who Nebraska's after at quarterback for 2019 from Greg Smith. Just one of many things you can get hooked up with. 855-3-HUSKER or hailvarsity.com/subscribe. 855-3-HSKR, which you can dial up and get your subscription. Now we welcome in Mike Shewhart. Wilderness Ridge Golf segment is here. Shuey, you look good, man. How are you?
I'm
that was
doing
weird.
Great.
You're going to run. But I'm just saying you look fired up and ready.
Always.
It's beautiful and pleasant out
today.
And you're just cranking out lessons.
Yeah, man. Junior, right in the middle of our junior camp. So third day down.
Yeah.
Having fun.
Well, you sent me a picture, and we're going to tweet this out once the Wi-Fi starts rocking here. Put a quarter in that machine, Danny. but Gary the Hippo is very large.
Very large.
Gary's large. Huge.
Yeah, he is.
Very Gary's large. The hippo that the kid's got to feed.
That's right. He's got to feed the hippo, man. That's probably like the favorite station there, man. They all can't wait to get
to
Gary the
Hippo. So were you a big Mike Tyson's punch-out guy and inspired by King Hippo? Is that why we got Gary the Hippo?
Yeah. Actually, he's got his name because we have a gentleman that works at the club. And when you see the picture of Gary, he's a big pink hippo. So Gary, he's a pretty large guy, really nice guy. He's been working at the club forever. So he works outside and does our stuff. So the first day we put him up, here comes Gary over there to help him put it up. And he's got a pink shirt on.
Oh, my Lord.
So that's how he got his name, Gary the Hippo, because he looked a lot like Gary.
So it's a tribute.
That's right.
That is so, and it's lasted.
It's lasted forever.
Well, tell me about the camp, man.
So it's going great. We've got like 60 kids in our camp.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it's great. They're having a fun time. We try to make it as fun as we can and teach them a little golf and have a lot of fun. And we got all kinds of little contests that we do. Full swing station. We got to ring the gong.
Tell me about that.
Yeah, so I made this little thing over the winter, and it's like a gong. It's actually a trash can lid.
Okay, but ring the gong.
I got it hung up out there. It's kind of like break the glass, but
sure.
It's ring the gong.
Right.
So we put it up there in the middle, and they take shots at it. And the key is if you can ring the gong, it's a double bonus. That means you get two pieces of candy. Ooh, man. It's all about the incentive.
Are we doing Werther's or what?
Well, not quite. Little Tootsie Rolls.
Oh, good, good.
Yeah. But it's all about the right incentive, man. If you give them the right incentive, man, they'll do about anything. So.
That is good. I want to remind you here what's going on with Wilderness Ridge. Always open to the public. You can log on wildernessridgegolf.com, 402-434-5106. But for the entire month of June, you can schedule a FREE, free 15-minute lesson with one of our pros. Work on any part of your game with the best. Shuey's one of them, obviously. Best in the business. Sign up now. And get locked in. Limit one lesson per person. And each participant can receive a coupon for 50% off one round of golf or 50% off a large bucket of range balls. Please reserve your lessons today. 402-434-5106. Get a lesson with Shuey.
How about that?
And then take care of it when you're in your scramble. I played a scramble last weekend.
Yeah.
The Schmidt-Bailey team beat the Bolte
and
Jaybird team.
Love it.
We want some candy, too.
Candy. I'll bet your candy was nice.
It was good.
I'll bet it was.
So take me through the pro-am, being involved with those, because Tiger is kicking it with Peyton. Peyton's having a good time with Tiger today. And that the Omaha chant was alive and well.
Oh, yeah.
So any fun stories or remnants of a pro-am that you remember being a part of?
Yeah, a couple of them. A name from the past, John Candiotti.
Yes.
He's a guy, knuckleballer.
Yeah, knuckleballer. He played for everybody.
Yeah, so when I played on... when I was
Cotton
on,
Candiotti.
Yeah, when I was playing on tour, they pair you with an amateur and then another pro. So in my group happened to be me, Paul Guidos. That's the name. He's on the senior tour now. So we played in our pro-am, and Candiotti was my partner, and his partner happened to be Donald Trump.
Whoa.
How about that?
So that was your foursome?
Yeah.
So you played golf with – Trump played golf with you?
Yeah. How about that?
How did that shake out?
Yeah. That was pretty wild, man. He's actually pretty good. Very competitive guy.
Yeah.
And he is very, he's a big man.
Yes, he is.
So, you know, I knew who Donald Trump was, but never saw him in person.
Sure.
Until then, I saw him in person. That's what amazed me more than anything. I said, he's a pretty large man, and he's not bad. Very competitive, so that was pretty fun.
Shuey, when you tell me and look at me and say, oh, he's very competitive, like three times.
He takes his golf very seriously.
So how's his temperament when it doesn't go well?
He takes his golf very seriously.
Wow. So, okay, so you got Trump, you got coitus, and then you have Candiotti. So how did you and Candiotti do together?
We're okay. He wasn't that good.
Okay.
He wasn't bad.
You can just say I carried him.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Kind of. Not much. But you got to play pretty good, man. Those guys come in. They're pretty good players.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those, you know, athletes, still athletes, retired athletes, because they play like golf. So a lot of those guys are really good, especially the hockey players, man. The hockey players are...
They can swing it.
Yeah, they can swing it, man. They can hit it hard. So you better... A lot of them are sandbaggers. They bring in a little bigger handicap than they probably really are.
Okay.
So he probably played pretty true to his handicap.
How was the chemistry? When you're paired with somebody, you're very competitive too.
Sure. But that's the nice thing about it is that it's a little more, especially like in most of the pro-ams, it's because you're not really competing yet in the tournament, you know. So you're just playing, it's more of a fun, low-key. Amateurs are a little more competitive because obviously they want to play good and do all that stuff.
Show it.
Yeah. But it's fun because you get to interact with them a lot more and show them things, help them, talk through them, you know. And to me, it's really fun because you get to talk to them about what they do, which is really cool.
Did you tell Trump to do this, this, or this?
No, not quite.
No? Okay.
No. So, who was another one? I played with Mike Ditka.
Did you really?
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Okay.
Pretty intense guy,
too. Did he bring you a cigar?
So, he had him.
Oh, no, he did.
He did, yeah. He did offer me one. I said no.
Danny's the biggest Bears fan in the world. Yeah. He's got Ditka tattooed on his back.
My guy.
Yeah. Yeah,
are there pictures of you with all these celebrities somewhere that we can see them?
Ooh, I don't know. I have to go rummage through and see if I can find some of those.
What year was this with Trump?
1990, I think.
Okay.
1990. It was either 90 or 93.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was such
And where'd you play?
Pebble Beach. In the Pebble Beach Pro-Am.
Okay. That Pro-Am.
Yeah. That's pretty cool, man, because you get the who's who that comes out and plays. You know, it's Roger Clemens was playing one year, and he was like in the group ahead of us. And it's pretty fun to watch those guys. They're pretty good, really.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're competitive dudes, and they're very athletic guys, and they can play a little bit.
So is there an urban legend out there about an air quote amateur? Think about, like, the best amateur you've seen in this tournament. We'll be back, and I want to hear more about golf camp as well.
All right.
And maybe more about your round with the competitive guy named Trump that you played with. It's Mike Shewhart, Wilderness Ridge Golf Segment. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Wilderness Ridge Golf Segment continues, Mike Shewhart. Donald Trump got to play golf with him at the Pro-Am down at Pebble. I want to get back to some more of the sessions that are available for kids. Also, folks can come see you, come see Chris, and get some kinks worked out for future tournaments or just league golf with their friends, whatever they want to do.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on that we do, that you can take advantage of. Like the 15-minute golf lesson, that's pretty cool.
That's great.
We got the golf doctors. So you come in, they're the time set. I think it's Mondays. You can come in and like a 5-minute little look, see, and give you some ideas on maybe something you can do to help your game.
Okay.
So we got our camp this week, got another one next month. So if kids missed out on this one, we got another one at the end of next month. My divot dogs start tomorrow. Big day tomorrow.
You gotta pump the divot dogs here for a second because that's your youth squad that is reigning champs.
Baby. Retaining the belt. So
tell me about your program, man. Let folks know if they didn't hear or they're unaware about the program you've started and really watered, man. It's incredible.
Yeah, that's pretty fun. It's we have so much fun with it. So it's a kids from about 7 to 13 is the oldest you can be. Mm-hmm. Then you age out of it. So, and then we play a competition with all the other clubs. That's what's so cool about it is that almost all the clubs now around the state are putting together teams, you know. So we have 28 kids on our team this year. We have four teams actually this year, the largest number we've ever had. So we'll have four teams out there competing. And they're two-person teams, and they play a scramble. So they get their partner, and they go out and play a two-person scramble against another team they get pitted against. And you get a point if you win the hole. You get 2 points if you win the hole. You get 1 point if you have the hole. And then you get 0 points if the other team beats you. And then it's just about teaching them how to play in a fun atmosphere with a teammate doing things like that. You get a point when you sign your scorecard at the end. So teaching them how to keep score, the things you have
sign
to do.
Sign the scorecard.
Got to make sure you sign the scorecard because that point can be huge at the end.
Yes, it can.
Yeah. So, and then we play like six events. And they take your point totals of what you did, and then that qualifies you for the sectionals, and then you qualify through the sectionals in the top four teams, make it to the championship, and then you play a match in the morning, and then you play a match in the afternoon if you get there, down to the final two. So we've done pretty good. Last year we won, like we said, we're the defending champs. We've made it to the finals every year, so we got a pretty good squad.
And you're going to teach them now how to handle the pressure, be hunted.
That's right. Mm-hmm. We're the hunted now.
That's right.
But I like my squad. I only lost one kid off my squad last year.
All right.
So he was a good one, so I got to work hard to replace him. But I got my main squad back, and I like him.
Well, Mike Shewhart's with us, Wilderness Ridge Golf, and Shuey's in on Wednesdays with us. And got a little one, ages 7 through 13, like he was talking about. Get signed up and be part of that Divot Dog, man.
Yeah, that's fun. We have so much fun with them. So we'll see. First practice tomorrow.
I like that. WildernessRidgeGolf.com. Get signed up. 15-minute free lesson with Wilderness Ridge going on. 402-434-5106. And a good story there about the U.S. Open. The Pro-Am, Trump, Cotton Candy, Adi, and Shuey rocking. Quick time out. We'll get to some college football. Shuey, hang out if you want. And Brad Edwards, ESPN Insider, college football analyst with us to start off Hour 2 with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you back. Hour 2, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Danny Burke, Mike Shewhart. Shuey is sitting in, hanging out. Great to be with you. We will get into Scott Frost's bonuses and contract that released. Good for him. 20 hours worth of private jet use to go to any golf course you want. That's not in the contract, but you can fly where you want to fly. Let's head to Bristol and get caught up with ESPN Insider, part of College Game Day, and ESPN Radio. Brad Edwards with us, at JBradEdwards on Twitter. Brad, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing well, Chris. I guess we're not officially summer, but you get on the other side of Memorial Day and it feels like summer. So we're one season away from football is kind of the way I look at it.
I know. The countdown is below. I think we're at 98, day 98 till football starts, and golf is
3 months, we'll call it.
3 months is exactly what we'll call it. And I wanted to kind of get your take on, a little funny, but not super funny, how many college football burner accounts do you believe were deleted today?
that stuff. I don't know why. I don't know why anyone would pay attention to accounts that have no picture and no followers and stuff like that. Anyway, it's just kind of a kind of a weird story. I don't know where that thing will go, but I tell you this, like, there's no question. I mean, you know it as a member of the media. Like, when you say something that people don't agree with, that you get all sorts of negative feedback, and most of it comes from people who seem somewhat anonymous based on the little bit of information you can get about them outside of their comment. And I would guarantee you it's 10 times worse if you're a player. And these days, if it's football, it doesn't matter whether it's pro or college. You're getting the brunt of it if your team don't play well. And so, some of those accounts have always bothered me, just because you got a lot of people who aren't man enough to come out and say what it is they really think, and got to hide behind an egg or whatever it is these days for the no photo account.
Brad Edwards with us, Hale Varsity Radio. Brad, I'm gonna throw out some numbers, and it's also preseason magazine time. We'll get you a cent. Copy of the Hale Varsity yearbook for sure. Good stuff on Nebraska. But Athlon's been around. I think the last Athlon I got had Johnny Mitchell on the cover. It was awesome. This is a long time ago, but Johnny was the man. So Athlon has Nebraska ranked at 62. They have Nebraska at 6-6 projection-wise, 3-6 in the Big Ten. How does that grab you? 3-6 in the Big Ten, year one for Scott Frost, fifth in the West.
Well, I would say on the surface, the overall ranking and the overall record are not too far off from where FPI has mm-hmm. Nebraska. The conference record, I had not really looked at it conference games only. I know that if you look at the five road games, and it's still an adjustment. I'm sure it is for you too, probably more so for you. It's still an adjustment for me to look at Nebraska and Northwestern and to kind of come to grips with Northwestern being the favorite. Hats off to Pat Fitzgerald for having gotten that program to that point. Now, is it an unwinnable game? Of course it's not. But with that being on the road, I think it's difficult to look at Nebraska's road schedule and feel really good about any of those games being a win. And so that's kind of your starting point. And then you look at the Michigan State game based on what we think they are. So what is that? If they don't win any of those games, does that leave you a 3-6? Is that what the
That's what it comes down to, right?
Because
you got Purdue, who's better, and by the way, coming off a 7-6 year. You had Illinois in there, and then in your own division, you haven't beaten Iowa in a while. You haven't beaten Wisconsin in a while.
Yeah.
You do better against Northwestern at Northwestern. Hey, you get that road game, and then your crossovers are Sparty, Harbaugh, and Urban.
Yeah, I guess kind of the way I would handicap it before we've seen the team play is that I look at two games as kind of the swing games, where you have the Northwestern game on the road, where if they can get a win there instead of a loss, I think it could end up being a better season than most people are forecasting. On the other side, the Purdue game at home. If you don't win that one, then it could end up going worse than people think. So I think those are the two games you're looking at. So the pro Nebraska side, it's like, win all the home games except Sparty. And look, if you can win that, obviously, great. But the rest of them you're supposed to win. Win all those and then upset somebody on the road, and then I think you can come away from year one under Scott Frost feeling good about where you stand at that point, if that ends up being the record.
Brad Edwards, ESPN Insider College Game Day with us, Hale Varsity Radio, at J. Brad Edwards on Twitter. Brad, I want to, before we get into some schedule talk and some thoughts from you on some of the teams this year, what's been just the most insane, crazy, fun atmosphere you've been a part of with Game Day? I've never asked you that, but I've wondered. And please don't say, well, hey, Lincoln was great. I knew you came in studio. You were awesome when Miami came to town. That was nuts. That was crazy because, Nebraska, Miami. But you've been everywhere, man. You've been everywhere for rivalry games. You've been there for neutral site kickoffs to start the year. you've seen the fan bases. What was a good time, and what was a great matchup that you remember?
I kind of have to distinguish between our show and then the actual game stadium atmosphere, because our show, a lot of times, it's really dependent upon our location. Mm-hmm. And if you end up, and actually it's not just, you know, how close you are to the stadium, but it's also what time does the game kick off? Because if most of your show is, you know, long before kickoff, then that affects it too. So let me just stick with the stadium. I would say two that really jump out, actually three that jump out at me. And that was I loved Lincoln. That was a great atmosphere, especially for that particular game. But I will not forget two home upsets. One was 2009, which essentially ended up being Pete Carroll's last stand at USC. It was a Halloween night, Autzen Stadium. USC went to Oregon, and Oregon just basically pulled their pants down in front of the world. And it was just USC, I think it's been 7 or 8 years that they have lost a touchdown.
Brad, do we still got you? Brad, do we still got you? Are you by that spot in Connecticut again?
I'm in that spot. Can you hear me?
I got you. You're talking about being de-pantsed SC being de-pantsed.
Yeah. So anyway, but Autzen Stadium that night was going nuts because USC was just, they owned the Pac-12. Right. Nobody could touch them, and Oregon beat them.
Oh, man, do you want to try, Brad? Hello. Okay, we're gonna reconnect with Brad. Cliffhanger. I know you want to hear about Pete Carroll and USC being turned into a pinata. Who doesn't? So here's the story. Brad Edwards is awesome. Great college football guy. Dude that's been coming on the show for 10 years. We love him. And Brad, at 5:15, if we catch him driving through a certain spot, driving home from Bristol, I whine about the Wi-Fi here, right? Well, Brad, bless his heart, is driving home, see his lovely family, and we hit a spot in Connecticut. Brad, great to have you back. So USC gets pummeled. Pick it up.
USC gets pummeled. I will not forget Camp Randall in 2010 when number one Ohio State went in there with Terrell Pryor and Wisconsin knocked him off. And then the other one was a home team loss. But 2013, this is at Texas A&M, Johnny Manziel's second year. You remember, they had beaten Alabama the previous year, and he had won the Heisman. But Alabama had won the past two national championships. So two-time defending national champion coming in against the reigning Heisman winner with revenge on their minds, and it was a great game. It was like 49-42 or something like that was the final score. And it was like a newly expanded Kyle Field, and that place was bonkers. And actually, what I'll probably remember more than the game was actually Midnight Yell. I don't know how many of your fans were able to go experience that in a road game at A&M. I don't know how many times you played at A&M.
Quite a few.
During the Big 12 days. But yeah. But if you ever as a fan went to that Midnight Yell the Friday night before the game at midnight, for that Alabama game, there must have been like 50,000 people out there. And I just, having gone to a place where, you know, game day is something, but nobody's gonna set aside their Friday night partying to focus on the game. Not at that point. But A&M, they do, and that was – so those are the three. Those are the three that really jump out at me the most of all the ones that I've been to.
I know the A&M-Bama game you're talking about because Mike Evans was still there. That's the first. That's the first time, like, a Saban defense got destroyed. They still won.
Mike Evans had, like – he had, like, 200 yards receiving in the first half. Like, he was just –
he was 6'8 going up, and it was awesome. Yeah. That was a great game.
Oh, A&M jumped out 14-0, and it was like, wow. But then Alabama scored like 35 unanswered, and then A&M made a comeback at the end. But it was short. So,
Brad Edwards, a couple more minutes with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Brad, some thoughts here with the college football world and a name Nebraska fans know, Joe Burrow. We haven't talked to you in a while, so the thought was maybe Nebraska would look at him. Nebraska's fine at quarterback, but Joe ends up going to LSU. LSU's been starved for quarterback play or been starved for quarterback development. In your opinion here, again, offseason, what does he do for the Tigers?
You know, I talked to an LSU beat writer a couple days before he made the commitment official. And he said the LSU fan base was just like on the edge of its seat over this because they felt like he was going to end up being their best option. They just have no confidence in the guys who've been there and gone through spring practice. And it just makes you wonder. I mean, I'm not saying that he might not be a really good quarterback, but the guy not only did he never start a game at Ohio State, but last year, when JT Barrett was injured against Michigan, he wasn't the first guy in. You know, I mean, so he wasn't even the backup last year. So we don't know anything about him, I guess, is what it comes down to. And you know, look, there's no shame in not being able to start at Ohio State, but I just with how little we have of him on video, I wonder how the, you know, the people at LSU can be so convinced that he's the answer for them. And I think it's just probably smarter to be skeptical about his ability to play at that level until you've seen more of him. And you know, LSU, if he's the best they've got at quarterback, coming in cold and not knowing any of the playbook and having to learn it in the summer, then it's going to be a long season for them, which I think most people believe it is going to be already. But yeah, the LSU faithful seem to think that he's their best shot, and I don't think that says a lot for where they are. I mean, look, if he had had a chance to redshirt, it'd be a different story. But coming in cold, I don't know how much you can realistically expect of him, especially in, say, the first month of the season or so.
Brad, about 60 seconds as we get closer to media days coming up and the season starting. Wisconsin, if there's a year, is this the year that you think Wisconsin can not only do things in the West, they've been doing things in the West, but can they take down Ohio State or Penn State this year?
Yeah, I think the problem for Wisconsin, what makes it different than the past seasons, and this, I mean, you could argue, you know, with some good evidence why this could be their best team, the issue is the schedule. I mean, most of the time it's pretty friendly, but the crossover games are not as good for them as what they typically get. And so that kind of has me reluctant to buy in, just because
Michigan and Penn State, right?
Yeah, there's no question they can survive one loss, but they're going to have to win one of those games, you know, in order to, you know, to have a chance to make the playoff. Not to win the Big Ten, but in a chance to make the playoff, they're going to have to win one of those games, and that's the issue. And so now, how many people nationally are looking at them as a playoff contender? Probably not many, but they're certainly certainly the favorite to get to the Big Ten championship game. And I think we saw last year, they're good enough to win it once they're in it. The question is, can they get there still as a factor in the national title race?
It's Brad Edwards, ESPN Insider, College Game Day, college football analyst at J. Brad Edwards. Brad, enjoy your summer. We'll get caught up again soon and swing those clubs, bud. Thanks for the time.
Oh, I'll do it. Thanks, Mitty. Hey, get that hot weather ready for that College World Series crowd.
Oh, I'm cranking it up for you, I promise you.
We'll see you.
See you, bud. Take care. Brad Edwards with us, Hail Varsity Radio. We will spend a few more minutes on some Nebraska football. Should we still hanging out? And Danny Burke in Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Well, Brian Coangelo telling Jordan Schultz, someone's out to get me. This is clearly not me. Hope to resolve this soon. Now, do we know if Pat Riley, Bill Belichick, Brad Stevens, or Magic Johnson have one account, let alone burner accounts? Pretty interesting. Great stuff from Mike Shewhart. Shuey in the house earlier. Brad Edwards, just tremendous to start off the 5 o'clock hour on college football on Nebraska, on atmospheres, on burners. winnable games for Nebraska. Scott Frost winning with his contract. Should we break that out for you? As that's been released today, so we'll get the numbers there. But okay, so Brad Edwards, I mean, he does analytics, he does analysis, and if you're looking at Nebraska's schedule for 2018, can tap the line, Schilling Bridge Cork and Tap House lets you do that, 466-377-6800, 825-5865, at @Schmidt_radio, at @DannyBurke5. Find us on Twitter. Do you believe the two swing games that could boost you are Purdue and Northwestern? You win both of those, then you are beyond Athlon's projection. It's at 3-6 in the league. If you lose them, does that keep the old foot on your head here in water and damn you to 3-6 or worse? And for him to look at it and say, okay, winnable games. Is Michigan winnable? It depends on what type of momentum you have, how money your defense can be, because it's going to have to be really good, because your offense, you hope, will be all right. You hope it'll be really all right by game four, but you're going up against an insane defense, likely, on the road. And you know Harbaugh's going to want to stick it to Frost, and you know Frost is going to want to stick it to Harbaugh. So you have that element. You have Wisconsin. You have Iowa. I think Iowa is one of those swing games. Are you built up? Are you beat up? Are they built up? Are they beat up? Where are you at in the year? Are you going into that thing at 4 wins, at 7 wins, at 5 wins? Because both teams have done it the last few years. I can't, in good conscience, say Ohio State and Wisconsin are the swing games. I can't talk myself into Michigan. You know what? Colorado. You beat somebody from a Power Five, your old rival, little Buffalo Burger. Barney will be in town. I don't know if he'll eat a Buffalo Burger, but we'll grill one for him. Those are some options. Here is what was anonymously said before we get to Frost's comment, or I should say, Frost's contract. But here's what was anonymously said about Nebraska, and that's what's pretty juicy, and there'll be more with Athlon, but I think it's accurate with what was pointed out by said coach. So here's what it is. Anonymous coach says, quote, "I like the raw attitude on Frost. Reality says they're not that good on the offensive line or on the defensive line." Calling it like he sees it, said anonymous coach with maybe a burner Twitter account. Those are facts. You got to get your D-line to stop the run. You got to get your O-line to be able to run. Whoever you got at quarterback, they'll be athletic enough to get out of some trouble, but can you get points and be explosive?
Yeah, I mean, you got to agree with it. I mean, those are obviously our two weakest links right now, and especially with, you know, losing Michael Decker at center and trying to figure out where everyone's going to go. It's going to be tough, and that's always the biggest issue for Nebraska and just, you know, most teams in general. And you're absolutely right. Whatever quarterback we have, they'll be able to escape most of the trouble they're in, or at least we hope they will be. But, yeah, and then going – when you were talking about – or just going back to what we opened with, the two swing games, I think personally I'm going to go with the Northwestern and Iowa game. I'm not as concerned about Purdue personally because it's at home. It is going to be a good game, no doubt, mm-hmm. assuming Purdue still does pretty decent this year. But I think winning at Northwestern would be big. But then you kind of got to think about it and say, you know, Nebraska's played well there in previous years, and it's not like it's necessarily a crazy home field advantage. But Northwestern's on the up and up now, and I think that'll be a tough game. And then Iowa, it's just going to be hit or miss. It's one of those rivalry games.
Well, let's talk weather.
Yeah, that too. Exactly.
Guys didn't look like they really wanted to play in some cold weather against Iowa.
Yeah, and let's see who's dinged up. And you know.
Here's the thing about Purdue that's fair to circle. When you play Purdue, you get Purdue after Michigan. Right after Michigan. Mm-hmm. Is it the proverbial letdown game if you beat Michigan and upset Michigan? Is it the, man, your confidence is shocked and shelled because Michigan did you in by a lot or a little? Is it a bounce back game? I mean, where are your emotions at? Because you don't get the same team each week. You just don't, and you try for it constantly in college football, but you don't get it in the NFL. You just don't. So that's, to me, why Purdue, I mean, Purdue's, those that are still around, remember last year, different team, heartbreak result for them. You imagine, you think if Purdue wins last year, they're 8-5.
Yeah, that does sound kind of crazy when you say it out loud. Yeah. I mean, that's also what I take into factor, too. The fact that we were able to go on the road and win last year, that's why I have more confidence in us beating them at home this year. You know?
Well, Purdue was good defensively last year. I don't think they're going to be as good defensively.
No. But I also think it matters. Those first three non-conference games are going to be a huge indicator as well. Because I'm assuming, me personally, I don't think Nebraska is going to be able to sneak one out against Michigan. We're just hoping they stay in that game.
Sure. Yeah. You know? What where are you going to be at against Michigan week four? What have you built up to?
Exactly.
And it could be one of those, damn it, I wrecked the car life lessons. Mm-hmm. Where they house you, and you don't let it happen again because Scott Frost won't let you forget it.
Right.
So here is Scott Frost's bonus structure. Division titles, 100G. Division title and big, conference title / Big Ten title, 300,000. And the further you go with it, it continues to escalate with bowl game, $150,000. New Year's Six is a $250,000 bonus. Title game is going to be $350,000 if you get to the college football playoff title game. And if you win the whole bleeping thing, says Lou Brown, you get $650,000. So you're just shy of a million. You win the Big Ten title and you get to the college football playoff. You win both of those. That's $950, which is good stuff. More on, I think, Frost's buyout. Is it $5 million at the end of his original contract? And then it drops to two. It would drop to $2.5 million. So that is good news. If you're Scott Frost, if you want to go somewhere after the seven-year extravaganza here, that's just very vile to whisper out right now.
I need to get me one of those contracts.
Well, Danny, as soon as you stop paying us to be here, we'll talk contract. Can tap the line, Shillingbridge Court, can tap house. Let's do that, 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. I'm going to direct you to ESPN Lincoln, also the Hail Varsity and ESPN Twitter handles. We'll have some of the good stuff from Brad Edwards coming up in a little bit later on. More from the preseason magazines. Athlon says Nebraska 3-6. And an anonymous coach says loves the rah-rah. But reality says you're not that good on the lines of scrimmage. Well, that's, time will tell. Lindy's has Nebraska coming in at 47th. Fifth in the West. Their analysis, the roster needs a weight room makeover. Better talent than 4-8. 6-6, reasonable goal. The comments that slap you in the face are about the secondary. They are tissue thin. This scheme, while being cool and fun and aggressive, can't do much without any effective corner play. And you got to prevent the big play. That's the reason you saw very minimal throws in the spring game, says Lindy's magazine. Then want other teams to see how vulnerable they were in the secondary. Streeton Smith, no national ranking, no record prediction, fourth in the West. They say Tax Slayer Bowl. Nebraska reignited their recruiting. They're excited in year one. Could lead to an upset or two. The reality, Frost inherited a Nebraska roster a long way from contention. Schedule runs the Big Ten gauntlet. I wish I could talk like John Facenda. That'd be pretty cool. You can talk to Rick. You can look like a champ with all that bling. Pure Grown Diamonds with Sauter Heyman, Nebraska's exclusive dealer. Maybe it's time for Mama to get a new ring or some earrings or a necklace or a bracelet. Pure Grown Diamonds, 100% real diamonds that are grown in a lab. They are some of the biggest and best sellers in Sauter Heyman history. They're eco-friendly. They're 10 to 40% less than traditional earth mine diamonds. See why they're so awesome and see why Sauter Heyman's just been selected to be Nebraska's exclusive dealer of Pure Grown Diamonds. That says a lot. 12th and O downtown Lincoln. South Point Pavilion in Lincoln or out west with your friends in Grand Island. Can log on today. SauterHeyman.com. Podcast will be up on HailVarsity.com or iTunes. And select portions of the show, ESPNLincoln.com. Can download the app, can find us on iHeart, and just tell Alexa you want to hear Hail Varsity when you're set up at home. Quick time out of Jock Doc on the way with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back to it, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Time for a Jock Doc Wednesday, Lincoln Orthopedic Center. Dr. Doug Tavis with us. Dr. Doug, how are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. Feel a little better than the Houston Rockets right now.
You know, they are still bumming, and Golden State fans are smiling. My household, they're not Harden fans, but they don't like KD as much anymore either, so they don't know what to do. Let's talk about...
You guys are all confused.
Well, they are, and it's about the departure from Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
That's stuck in their craw. But they're not bitter, Dr. Doug. No, I mean, let's spend a little bit of time on the guy that was really the X factor. He's a Hall of Famer. He's great. And that's Chris Paul. When he was in... You had two straight wins by the Rockets. When he goes out, you have two straight losses. And hamstrings are topic for the Jock Doc. Dr. Doug, explain why they are so temperamental to athletes, to people. I mean, why is this part of your body such a pain to deal with and recover from?
Well, obviously, for these guys that are playing ball like an NBA player is going after it, the hamstring is just critical for just the locomotion of the leg. And it's such a large mass of muscle that when you injure that, the amount of stress that went into injuring it, it creates, a problem within that mass of muscle that is a constancy of pain until enough scar tissue forms in that injured area to stabilize it. Because you contract the muscle against that injured area, and it's like, you know, jabbing a knife in there. And so it's just terribly difficult for somebody to come back and play with sort of a partial recovery. And that's really where what the situation was with Chris Paul. He just couldn't come back and play with a partial recovery. Obviously, he would be probably feeling a lot better than what he did, you know, when he injured it, but wasn't at the point where he could go out and push off of that thing.
Dr. Doug Tavis with us, Lincoln Orthopedic Center at Jock Doc Wednesday. We're talking CP3 and Chris Paul, the hamstring that maybe prevented Houston to get beyond and get beyond Golden State. A Jock Doc Wednesday with Lincoln Orthopedic Center. Now, Dr. Doug, with CP3, I saw how it went down, how it happened towards the end of the game, a couple of games ago in Game 5. Tweaked it. Is it something to do with his age? Is it just what he did body movement wise when it comes to that injury? What did you see from that?
Yeah, so a lot of things wrapped up in that question, but there's, in his case, and almost always is the case, it's an eccentric load to the hamstring. So okay. An eccentric load is where there's a force trying to pull the muscle apart while the muscle is contracting. And so he was kind of awkward and trying to correct himself at that moment from lunging, and the hamstring is contracting. The forces of gravity and the momentum of his body carries him in a different direction away. You know, so there's a pulling sensation of the hamstring, and then one of the forces wins, and in that case, it wasn't the hamstring. Mm-hmm. But when you think about the epidemiology or the statistics of hamstring injury in the NBA, there was a really interesting study that looked at some of these things over the course of about a 24-year period of time in the NBA, and age didn't seem to play into it. The most common year of a significant injury like that was in year 8, believe it or not, of somebody's NBA career. But what really does play into it is the fatigue in the muscles. We see a huge spike in these hamstring injuries during the first month of the year. First month of the season. It's very definitely the most common time for a hamstring injury to happen, and it has to do with the conditioning of the athlete. They get fatigued and they get the injury. And so, you know, with Chris Paul, everybody knows the guy's, you know, will give everything he's got, and obviously did with Houston this year, but that fatigue factor sets in, and that's when that injury will occur, because the hamstring isn't able to generate the forces against the forces that are being acted on it, and the injury happens.
You're so right about the fatigue, and I'm just thinking of where teams are at right now, where Chris Paul's at, and the guy's in incredible shape, and LeBron has put 100,000 miles on himself each postseason, and he stayed healthy, but he had the cramps. I don't know how many finals ago that was. He's been to 8 straight, but you get my point.
Hard to keep up.
And it's just a fact of life that you're going to get tired as much effort and energy, and as long as this has been going on. When it comes to recovery from CP3, and he has plenty of time to do that now with Houston being eliminated. But is this something that if you don't take care of it can just linger and then stay with you? Is this, I mean, the hamstring just doesn't go away unless you give it time, right? Is that the best medicine for it?
Well, it's a combination of time, stretching of the hamstring, and then the strengthening side of it. I think the piece that gets lost on a lot of high school and collegiate athletes is, you know, when they kind of get over it and they stretch through it and they get to the point where they can play again, and then they don't take the next step, which is to really build the power back in it. Mm-hmm. Because, again, the power of the muscle is what's going to prevent the injury, or at least somewhat prevent the injury from occurring again. The most likely NBA player to have a hamstring injury is a guy that already had a hamstring injury. And so, yes, it's one of those things that's a recurrent kind of a problem. The muscle is not as compliant as what it was before it had an injury. And so it takes a combination of those things to allow that muscle to come back to a point where it can resist those forces. The number of days that people are out with hamstring strain, specifically in the NBA, is like 7.5 days on average. So that means there's some guys who are coming back, you know, at 3 days, or some guys who are coming back at, you know, at 15, 20 days. You know, so it's not an unusual thing at all that he wasn't able to get back to that point in this short of a period of time. It just wasn't possible.
Dr. Doug Tavis with us, Lincoln Orthopedic Center, a Jock Doc Wednesday. So we're talking about Chris Paul and just how agonizing it was for him to deal with that hamstring, miss the final two games, and really he was the difference for Houston. Golden State is on to the NBA Finals, and we'll see CP3 next year. We'll see if that hamstring can go away for good, and we'll see him maybe in the finals again, or the at least the conference finals again next season against these Golden State Warriors. Dr. Doug, we'll get caught up again. Looking forward to Friday in the Lincoln Ortho Open. Thanks so much for the time today.
You bet, and enjoy that basketball series. It's going to be a good one.
Vegas says one thing. We'll see what the Pride of Chicago Casino Danny Burke says next about Cleveland Golden State. We'll wind down a Wednesday on the way.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Back to it at Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Danny Burke. Big thanks to Brad Edwards. Many thanks to Mike Schuhart. Derek Peterson of HailVarsity.com and Magazine at the photo shoot. I want to remind you about texting and driving. Please do not do it. It's dangerous, and no matter how safely you think you can do it, you're taking risks and someone's life and your own into your own hands. Every time you send or receive a text, takes the driver's eyes off the road for an average of 5 seconds, like driving blind at 55 miles per hour. More than the length of a football field, texting increases your crash risk by 23 times, and it's illegal. You can get popped. Fines range between $100 and $300, so don't text and drive. The life of yourself, of your passengers, of others on the roadway, way more important. A message from the Nebraska Department of Transportation and Highway Safety Office. Derek Peterson, good stuff today. Great to get caught up with Brad Edwards. Wonderful to hear from Shuey and his golf story with Donald Trump. We welcome in Danny Cassino, the Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke. What say you about this Cleveland Golden State thing? Are you just going to throw a hundy down, just hoping for the payout back to Cleveland?
I don't think I'm going to do anything betting on the total series. Honestly, I just don't know if there's going to be anything fun to bet in any of these games. Maybe in Cleveland, where the Warriors' spread won't be as high. Otherwise, it's just like, I don't know. It's going to suck.
Well, it's 12 points right now, isn't it?
Yeah.
For tomorrow?
I think it's right around there, yeah. But yeah, I was saying earlier, like, if the Celtics made it to the finals, I said it would probably be one of the worst finals in my lifetime that I've seen, unless the Celtics were to win one or two games, and it could be a cool storyline. With the Cavs, it's still going to stink a little bit, but just because it's LeBron's in there and it's the LeBron factor, so many storylines around him, it'll still be a little interesting.
Find me what the odds are right now. Does he stay in Cleveland? Does he go to L.A.? Does he go to Houston? Does he go to Philly? Does he retire? That's been the talk today, that he steps away and says, I'm out. Or maybe he takes a year, like MJ did. MJ's was up for monster urban legend discussions. But because dude's looking old. He's still great, but he is looking, he's 33 going on 43.
Yeah, I mean, he's not getting any younger with the
support. He just needs to shave up top, too.
Yeah, he should have just committed to that years ago. Because now it's just going to be a big deal.
But do you think it's been the stress as much as anything?
Yeah, it's definitely been stress. I mean, he's literally had to put the team on his back in
many years.
Yeah, and you see he kind of chooses to play defense when he wants to. And, I mean, I used to blame him for it, but if you see this group he's with, you can't now because he has to do everything on offense and he's just commanding everyone. He's coaching while he's out there. So, yeah, I kind of give him props on that, and I understand why he's slacking a little bit in that area and just chooses to do it when he wants to. But now he is looking old, and this series is going to kill him, that's for sure.
Well, okay, and I got to ask, dude, when you listen back and we put Derek Peterson's podcast with us on ESPN Lincoln, did he want this double down or not? Is he going to pay me for the steak and the beer now?
I don't know.
I got to figure that out.
Yeah, we got to figure that out.
We'll be back tomorrow. We are searching for Gary Barnett, Jeremiah Searles, some other special guests. Talk to you tomorrow at 4 with Hail Varsity. Thanks to Danny Burke, Chris Schmidt, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.